Welcome to the Get Set Free Now show with Patty Cepeda, doing business from a kingdom perspective.
You are a world changer.
Keeping God's ways first in all she does. In her field, Patty is the number one motivator, educator, and inspirer on the planet.
When you're on fire with enthusiasm, people will come from miles around to watch you burn.
A self-made millionaire, stay-at-home mother of five, married 30 years to her best friend, Patty gives all glory to God.
I didn't do it. God did it. I was just obedient to the call.
She's humble, fun, inspiring, and loves to help people.
And I take it very serious because this is a huge responsibility.
Feel confident to sit under a godly authority with wisdom and teaching that will heighten your awareness to keep everything in kingdom perspective.
I get so fired up to set people free.
Join Patty as she gives you the keys to set you free. And now, let's get to the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Get Set Free Now with Patty Cepeda. I'm Mike Lenz. Hope all is well in your world. Hope you're having a great week. We are thrilled to have you be with us today as we continue our discussion about how attitudes are contagious, how important it is to have the right attitude as we go through our lives. And it's an important topic. And Patty, you covered a lot of aspects of this on the last episode. So thought it'd be a good idea to kind of continue with that thought process and let's elaborate on that a bit.
That sounds like a great idea, Mike. Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. It's great to be here. And I love the story. I was thinking about where we could go from here. And I just love the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel. And many of you have heard it, how the Lord called him. And I just want to backdrop is that Hannah, his mom, had prayed for a son, and that if God would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. And that's what ended up happening, is Samuel was given back to the Lord and was allowed to live, and gave him to Eli the priest, who he lived with. And it says in 1 Samuel 3 that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And then it goes on, and I think this is a little, we can look at this for ourselves as well, because it goes on to say, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. I just want to stop. The word, his eyes were becoming weak. And we want to pray that our spiritual eyes are open, our spiritual ears are open, to be able to hear from the Lord. It goes on to say he was lying in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, so it's not out, but yet the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions, right? So if I keep going, it says, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So he was lying before the ark, the covenant. That's where the presence of the Lord was. He was looking for and open to. But yet, I'll keep reading, because Samuel heard what he thought Eli was calling. He was calling him. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." And, "My son," Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. That's a key point. We're all learning the word of the Lord. And, you know, prior to getting this recording going here for today, in this broadcast, Mike, you and I were discussing a little bit about that, and how I had mentioned to you, I had a friend who was constantly, you know, he was a Christian. He called himself a Christian. He believed in Jesus and all that. However, that New Age spirit is slippery and slimy. And what happens is it gets in there, and we want to be politically correct many times. And what he was doing was calling instead of giving glory to Jesus or saying, dropping the J-bomb, right? Jesus is Lord. To say Jesus or Jesus Christ or Jesus, he would say a higher power. Or what did you say before that people say?
The universe.
Oh, the universe. Yeah, they want to give glory to the universe. Or they use it as a politically correct way of communicating God. And it's like a righteous anger rose up in me, almost like when Jesus flipped the tables. It's legit to have this happen, guys, from time to time, and in love. But in love, I called him out on it. I said, look, you call yourself a Christian. You believe in Jesus, right? And he says, yeah. I said, so why? Because he's a leader. He leads so many people. Why do you call it the universe or a higher power when you speak about Jesus? You know how many people you're leading astray doing that? Because they're following you. And so if they're following you, and yet that New Age spirit is rampant, because anytime the devil can come in and twist something, even just a slight bit, anything off the very simplicity of the message, right? It's the simplicity of the message that confounds the wise. The simplicity of the gospel message is that Jesus was fully God, fully man. He came on point to die a bloody death so that we could enter the presence of a holy God. We can't do that with sin on us, so it gave us an opening. He took our sin. He took all of our sin on that cross. And by calling on the name of Jesus, not the universe, I don't worship the universe. That would be a small g. There are people who are worshiping sun, the sun god. That's a small g. No, I worship the God, big G, who created the universe, not the universe. And so I called him out of it, on it in a loving way. And he's a friend to this day. However, what happens is many times that slippery, slimy spirit gets in, and it twists things and it causes people to go astray ever so slightly to miss the mark. And that's where I think it's extremely important that we spoke last week about being HOT, which is the acronym for honest, open, and transparent, with those people around you who would want to and will put their arm around you and support you to achieve all that you say that you want. And in the spiritual sense, we need to know that we're with solid people in the Lord, because it says in the end times, even the elect will be deceived if that were possible. Hmm. Even the elect, meaning those that understand the word, maybe have heard from God, have walked with the Lord and know his voice, and maybe prophetic or whatever, have healed. Because even Jesus says, go away from me, I never knew you. They come in, they say, Lord, Lord. And he, in that parable, he says, go away from me, I never knew you. And they go on to say, yeah, but we healed the sick in your name. We you know, did all these things in your name. And he says, go away from me, I never knew you. And so that is a little bit alarming when I think in terms of, you know, walk out your walk in fear and trembling. And that's an argument a lot of people want to have too, Mike, is, you know, whether once we had this conversation in the past, once saved, always saved, and all this kind of thing. And you probably hear kind of my feelings about it, is that walk out your walk in fear and trembling. I would rather err on the side of safety. And for those that are listening that feel the other way, look, I don't have a fight in me about it. I would still rather be safe and err on the side of safety and enter into the kingdom with the prize that he's called us out of the mess. We were in a mess, guys. Every one of us that's gotten saved has come out of nonsense at whatever level, some bigger levels, if you will, and some not so bad, if you will. But yet any sin is sin. It doesn't matter what it is. So a sin is, it just separates us from God. And what Jesus did is his blood, by calling on it, he took our infirmities, he took our sin, he took everything on that cross. And so he took it for us so that we can, by calling on the name of Jesus, enter the presence. So back in this time in 1 Samuel, it's before Jesus, obviously. And it's, but they still heard from God. And so people say, well, how do you know? How do you know his voice? And it does say in the word to test the spirits, because someone like people who hear God or they hear his voice or prophetic, those types of people can also, because they're sensitive in the spirit, can also be led astray. So it's important to know that they're not listening to a wrong voice. So you test the spirits. You test them against the word. Go ahead, Mike.
No, and it's also important, as you said in the previous episode, that you have people around you, as you said, that are strong in their faith, and that those cords, you know, those three cords that we talked about in the last episode, that hold you accountable to a certain extent, but also help you in your walk, make sure that you're filtering things the right way. Because we know in this day and age, we are bombarded with information all the time on a daily, you know, minute by minute basis. And I know my wife and I were reading a book that had been recommended to us by a friend, and as we're reading through it, it was saying things like that. It was saying things like manifest. And she was like, I don't like this book. She's like, I don't manifest things. I pray. I pray to God about things. And this is not the right approach. There are things that we're reading in this book that were helpful, but we needed to filter it through our belief structure and make sure that we were solid there. And not, as you said, you get into that slippery stuff of manifestation and universe and all those words that are, you know, considered quote unquote unifying, and we won't mention Jesus or God. But no, if you're a believer, then that's what we do. We follow our God and we pray to our God and we have a relationship with our God. That's what it's all about. You got to be careful.
Unapologetically.
You have to be careful about that. And I myself have fallen prey to that. And thankfully, you know, I have the person that walks with me on a daily basis that's saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't like that word. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right. So that's important to have people walk with you that are going to hold you accountable like you did with your friend that say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm going to call you out on this in a loving way, but I'm going to call you out on this. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's exactly where, if you continue in 1 Samuel 3, he goes on to say, the third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And many times God speaks in threes, by the way. This happens to be a fourth call here on this particular story. But then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So he's going to Eli because he hadn't been familiar with the voice of God at that point in time, it says. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And some of us have heard the voice of God. Some of you have questioned whether it was the voice of God, which is fine. You should always test the spirits. But you always want to look at the fruit. So where the devil comes in to try to screw people up is that he twists it just a tiny bit to take the attention off the simplicity of that gospel message and the Jesus. No one can say Jesus is Lord or Jesus be cursed by the Spirit of God. It's just impossible to say those things and mean them by that Spirit of God. So it's important to test the spirits. But what I wanted to point out for today's broadcast, in light of, you know, thinking in terms of how do we know it's God, or how do we hear God, you want to ask yourself, how did God speak to his people? And I want to remind everybody that God speaks to his people through dreams, trances, visions, angels, the word of the Lord. And there's many examples in here. I'll give you an example, just visions. What's a vision? Well, there's plenty of opportunities to just pull in one right here, Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. This is before he renamed him Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And so that's when he was asking God for a son. And then the word of the Lord came to him. And he says to him that that man will not be your heir, but a son who is from your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And so Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. Remember, he was instructed by God to go to a land he didn't even know about. And the key that the Lord is looking for in us is obedience. And sometimes, even if I fast forward, because we all probably, for those of us listening to this broadcast, probably know the whole story, how Abraham and Sarah were very on in years, and Sarah was beyond past childbearing years. And, you know, she was not conceiving. And finally, they took it upon themselves to take a concubine. So Sarah actually told Abraham to go to Hagar and have a baby by this concubine. She's younger and could conceive. And out of that concubine, Hagar, Ishmael was born. And it wasn't until a dozen or so years later that Abraham and Sarah conceived and bore Isaac. And then if you fast forward another about a dozen years or so, you know, then he hears God tell him to bring him and sacrifice his son. Oh my gosh, you better know you're hearing God. He's going up there to do this thing. I don't know how, when I really think about it, if I was allowed myself to go into it, I'd be crying by now to think, how can you do that? Would I be able to sacrifice? And I believe what was going on at this point in time was his son became his God, small g, because of the just waiting for so many years to have this promised son that's going to be like the sand of the seashore with the offspring, or the stars in the sky, just unlimited number of offspring. This promise that he had waited for so long now came to fruition, and it was becoming a God. And God, in his knows everything, surprise, surprise, asked him to sacrifice his own son. And he takes him to do it. And of course, we know that at that point in time, when he is about the very point in time to sacrifice his own son, you know, maybe he was thinking God will raise him. But then he hears God's voice telling him, don't lay a hand on the boy. And there was a ram caught in the thicket, and he gave him the sacrifice. God provided. And that was the faith he left, because he told Sarah when he was leaving the camp, because Sarah called him out on it. He says, where is your sacrifice? They were leaving with the wood, and they were leaving with everything, the coals, the hot coals, and they had everything but the pure lamb. And Abraham left telling her he will provide it. And sure enough, he did. That's faith. And sometimes I think we're hearing, he's looking maybe not to have that be the case for us. Maybe he is. I don't know where you're at, but he'll only work with us with where our beliefs are, the ability to hear. So maybe not so extravagant or of an example for you, the listener, or maybe me. I mean, right now it's hearing him say, hey, I was on a bike ride the other day, and I've just felt that there was something going on in this household. And if I saw somebody outside, I said, God, if there's somebody outside, I'll go. And there's somebody, and I rode past. And I got down to the first possible opportunity. I turned my bike around. I went back, and I went in the driveway, and I was willing to put myself out and look like a fool. I don't care if it's God and there is someone sick in this household I'm here to pray for. And sure enough, I go up, and the older gentleman, he says, well, yeah, my wife, and that's exactly who I felt the Lord was saying was ill. And, you know, I just prayed and keep them in prayer at this point in time. But it was a beautiful conversation. But sometimes it's, did I hear him? We've all heard the testimonies where somebody was going and they had this weird inclination to go down this street and or go buy milk. And then I've heard these testimonies, go buy milk. And then you're driving home, you don't know why you just bought the milk, and you're driving home and go right. And then it tells you, stop, go to that house. And then they're screaming baby, they didn't have enough money for milk. Mm. You know, you hear these types of stories but it takes a dead self to do these types of things. It takes somebody to be willing to look stupid, if you will. But if we're dead to ourselves, who are we dead? You know, listen, we're dead to ourselves. Who cares what we look like? And I have found, even in what appears from the natural or from worldly viewpoint that looks stupid. Really, as I say, I'm humble enough to say, hey, listen, I'm just learning to hear God. And this is what I heard. And, you know, if it's not right for you, then every time, though, it seems that they soften as I soften. Remember, if we're vulnerable, people will be vulnerable. And all of a sudden they're telling me, well, and they're telling me it was him most often. And even if it hasn't happened that way, my belief is that they were touched, especially if I really felt it, if I felt something on it. And there's just, I don't know how to describe that feeling something on it. But the more obedient and the more crazy it is, the more we realize that it's not about you, it's about him. You know, if we're not dead to ourselves, then we're worried about what people think.
And it might not be you. You may be the next person that they have that encounter with, right? So you've said that before on the podcast, that even if it
exactly.
feels like, oh, geez, I didn't make that connection, but maybe the next person they meet, that's the tipping point, and you helped get them to that point. So it's all important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, even with Samuel, 12 years old, the word of the Lord was rare. Here I am, Eli. He went to Eli because he thought it was Eli. But as he learned now, that was the beginnings of him learning to hear God. So for us, it's that same step. It's that same approach that we're willing to be humble enough to miss, but again, like prophetic, sometimes I get a word for people, and that word for people, it's not going to be a word that's discouraging, or, you know, I heard you're going to, you know, something evil, you're going to get in an accident. That's not a word from God. He wouldn't, you know, want you to deliver a message like that. It's always edifying. It's always uplifting. The word from God would be, now you might get in something else that, or in a dream, he speaks to us through dreams, where something terrible might have happened to even you, yourself, your family, whatever, or somebody you know. And perhaps that is God's grace for you to rise up in intercession, because to pray into that will help the deliverance of it. So prayer is extremely powerful. We want to pray into these things that God gives us. And for me, the prayer of my heart, as I said earlier, is that my kids would all have encounters with God, that they would encounter him. As I encountered him, because I was raised in religion and just didn't get anything out of it and really was pressing in, as I was having these encounters, that they would. So one of the first encounters with him was to hear his voice. But one of the next encounters was he was putting and laying on my heart someone who had gotten themselves in a predicament. They OD'd on drugs. They were in the ICU and being kept alive. And I've shared this before, but that was, again, I'm pacing I can't sleep that night. I'm praying in the spirit and just really groaning for this guy. And I get the inclination that God, it was an inclination, it was a feeling. I didn't hear his voice. I didn't hear a loud trumpet call, nothing like that. But the inclination was God was telling me, and I felt that he said, and this was kind of, he spoke softly to my heart, go lay your hand on him and tell him that if you will serve me, I will heal you. If you will give your life to me, if, you know. And so this simple thought, and I went to my pastor because it wasn't my thought, but yet it aligns with the word of God. And so I went to my pastor and I said, this is what's going on. And so he said, yeah, definitely. And so my husband and I went, and sure enough, prayed the prayer, nothing happened. But then the next day, sure enough, he was sitting up. And when we walked in the room, I couldn't believe it. He was talking to another fellow we knew. And as he left, I walked up to the side of his bed and he looked up at me. Because again, he wasn't there. He was out of it completely. Yeah. 24/7 dialysis to clean his blood, 24/7 breathing. I mean, he was being kept alive. His skin was like a green, a pale, like it left, like he was dead, but mm-hmm. kept alive type of look. And so this next day I walk in, he's talking, you know, woman of faith, my mouth's on the floor. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I walk up next to his bed after the guy left, and he looked up at me. He says, yeah, you prayed for me. I've got questions. Because he didn't get it. But see, remember, our spirits never die. And that's what took faith for me to do that. And then I know a guy who, when he was first saved, he heard about greater things will you do than I did. Jesus said that. That's in red ink. You, his followers, will do greater things than I did. And what did Jesus do? He healed the sick. And he actually, this particular person, saw some people that were healed. And I forget how many dozens, if not hundreds of people, he went out and started praying for everybody he saw in wheelchairs, on crutches, and anybody that looked sick in any manner, shape, or form. And he was praying and nothing was happening. But he believed. He went on this faith. And he kept going. And today he is, unbelievable amount of people get healed through his ministry. And then another guy that I know of that was really learning how to hear the voice of God. The first guy was Todd White, if you want to look him up. He's amazing. And then the next guy, who, by the way, Todd White was a drug addict. He was just out there, and he was in his 30s like I was before he came to know the Lord. And he had an incredible, incredible encounters. And now he is just amazing what he's doing with just the boldness. It's just so inspiring, so exciting. And then the next guy that I wanted to point out, that at first he wasn't really hearing God accurately, but today, forget it, he hears so accurately from God. His name is Sean Bolz, B-O-L-Z, is another one that if you watch, I know people personally who have received such an accurate word from him that it is mind-blowing. It shouldn't be, because God is God and God knows everything. And that's the beautiful thing about this, is we seek him and start to obey. Just like last week, I talked about why my kids would have a spanking. You know, it was clearly on the wall. There was reasons why they would be spanked, and it was rare. They just knew it, but it was there. Disobedience was the first one on the list. And if it's not immediate obedience, it's disobedience. Because if it's not immediate obedience, that'll couple with rebellion, or which is a sin of witchcraft, and I will not have it. Did I say? Usually I never had to raise a hand, but what happened though is I would change my voice. Did I say?
And that was and they the end know, of that. They know.
They knew. They knew better. Don't mess with me. But it's because I laid clear groundwork. There was guidelines. I put them on the wall. Lying, stealing, these were other reasons that they would get spanked. I would not have it in my household, and they knew it. I hate pride. I would teach my children how to respect others. I recently had a new encounter where I've always said, because we're actually watching our youth today not respect authority or respect the police officers or respect people elderly. I've always said we must respect. And then now as you grow into your own adulthood, we respect for sure people that are older than us. But as you become an adult, if someone's being disrespectful to you, you can stand up for yourself. You don't have to, in a very respectful way, call it out. And that was a new encounter. So as we go through our lives, as we're working with our children, as we're working on ourselves even, there's going to be times when you revisit something that applies now that you're an adult, for example, with my children, and to lead them through. Because this particular one of my kids was going through something that she was just taking it. And when I heard about it, I said, no, that if that person's not respecting you, then you need to call that out and certainly not be under that type of situation. Which, again, with the constant, we have to constantly move forward in the Lord, guys. If we're not moving forward in the Lord, we're moving backwards. And that's just know it, because we're living in a fallen world. It wasn't meant to be this way. So many people want to say, well, if God is this, then why is there poverty? Why is there hunger? Why is there sickness? This is a fallen world. This was not God's design or plan. Hell is real, but it was not designed or planned for his people. It was designed for the devil and his demons. That's what it was designed for. So people will ask questions that maybe aren't clear in the Bible. I'm not about to fight over them. If it's unclear in the word, then I'm going to remain unclear. You know, I'm going to not fight about it. Why am I going to go there? And then it requires faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God, to know what is the righteous way to go. But if we don't know it, the devil wants to slip in and twist it just a little tiny bit. And it's that twisting that causes people to stumble. You know, my people perish for lack of knowledge, it says in Isaiah or Hosea. So, I feel like we're drowning. It's almost like food. We eat too much in this country, but we're undernourished. It's like the information and the amount of information we have. And it's just we're drowning in it, but yet we're starving for truth. And when someone brings the truth, the light of the gospel to people, it's illuminating. People are fired up about it because your soul desires God. Your spirit wants to know him. God, it's just in every man to know God. But if we're resisting, if we have pride, if we have a know-it-all attitude, which is pride, then of course God can't work with that because you already know it all. Everybody wanted to be around Jesus when he walked the earth, except those that knew it all. So, and you know, Mike, so oftentimes we're finding ourselves doing something that God didn't even call us to do. We have plenty of access to the Word of God and as a guide to kind of help us to, and to, here it is. I just thought of this. I think this is from God. Here it is. This is the key. What happens is there's a sea of glass before the throne, and we all know glass, like a glass lake. Think of it, a glass lake, and you throw a pebble and it makes wrinkles in the water. If you're making a decision and there's wrinkles in the water, just know that if it's from God, it's going to be glass. It's going to be very refreshing. It's just going to feel right. That's kind of, I don't know how else to describe it. So, I know we're out of time today's broadcast, and I just love this topic because I love to seek him. I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but the Lord is available to all of us, and he speaks to us. You know, even if you go in Genesis, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring. That's, you know, he's talking to Hagar in Genesis 16, verse 7. Goes on through 16. The angel of the Lord came to Abraham in 22. And you go paragraph after paragraph that God is speaking to us. How he speaks to us, dreams, trances, visions, angels, God himself. And it's available to you. Because what's the difference between you and Abraham? Or you and Sarah? Or you and anybody that's listed in the Word? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, what's the difference between us and them is that they're dead and we're not. But God is still alive and he's still using people because that's his choice. He chose to use us. He chose it this way. He said he would send the Comforter to live inside of us. He chose that direction. So we all have that for those humble enough to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I pray that you would do that today, which is simply asking him. Father, I submit to you that I've done stupid things. I want to repent of those stupid things. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I want to follow you. Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord. It's that simple, guys. And if you prayed that prayer today, mark it down and start to get a Bible and really seek out good fellowship would be a good starting point as well. But get a Bible and start to read. And I recommend in John, the Gospel of John. So with that, Mike, we'll call it a broadcast, but maybe we can pick up a little bit more on this next week.
Yeah, I think we should. We always get to that point, right? We get to this point where we have to end the broadcast, and there's so much more to talk about. And that's why that's the beauty of having this weekly, is to have people be have access to this, and we can continue these conversations, which is so important. So thank you, Patty, for that great information about how do we hear God? And let's make sure that we understand that there's many ways for him to communicate with us, and we just need to be open to it. So we, of course, want to invite you over to Patty's website, where you can hear some of those previous episodes. If you go to pattysepeda.com/podcast, it'll take you right to her podcast page. And you can also listen to Patty's show over on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Play in podcast form. And also, please go over and follow Patty on Facebook at Patty Leahy Cepeda. She is live every Thursday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you can join her live there. And also be sure to follow her over on Instagram at Patty_Leahy_Cepeda. All right, so until next time, for Patty Cepeda and all of us over here at Get Set Free Now, I'm Mike Lenz. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we'll see you next week.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Get Set Free Now with Patty Cepeda. For unlimited access to previous episodes, faith-based resources, inspirational posts, and more on Patty's own spiritual journey to being set free, please visit us at GetSetFreeNowShow.com. And don't forget to follow Patty on Facebook at Patty Cepeda. That's P-A-T-T-Y-C-E-P-E-D-A. And as always, may God be with you.